Okay, welcome back. And speaking of back, he's back. Who's he? Mitchell Henderson. Welcome back, Mitch. Great to have you on board again. And here we are at war, as you said, for a long time. You called it as closely as anyone could. Well done.
Okay, so let me explain how we got here and where we're going. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So let's start with nuclear weapons. Okay. What happened is this: is there's only five countries that did not sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty: India, Pakistan, Israel, North Korea, and South Sudan. South Sudan because it just became a nation recently, and you know my brothers are too poor to ever get one. So at any rate, what happened back on September 9th of last year? Israel attacked the American ally, Qatar, where we have a major military base. We have military bases, remember, in Arab countries to protect them from Israel. Well, the Arab countries saw that America will never protect Arabs from Israel. They will always let Israel do whatever they want to do. So on September 25th, Saudi Arabia signed a mutual defense treaty with Pakistan, okay? And that meant that now Saudi Arabia was under the Pakistan's nuclear umbrella. Well, what went unpublished was that Pakistan gave Saudi Arabia its own nuclear weapons, gave them to them, because there's another treaty in 2017 called the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, and Saudi Arabia did not sign that. As a matter of fact, almost no nation in the Middle East signed that treaty. They all want, since Israel has nuclear weapons, they all want to have the option to have nuclear weapons, okay?
Right. Well,
this makes Iran very jealous because Iran wants nuclear weapons to protect itself from Israel. Israel always attacks it, so they want protection, you know? So, next, Turkey talks to Saudi Arabia and talks to Pakistan because they want to get in on that treaty because Turkey wants nuclear weapons. Okay, so this is very important. Okay.
Turkey is next in line, everyone. Hold on. Turkey is next in line to demand the right, and it has the right, to have nuclear weapons. Let's see where that one goes. File that for now. Please go ahead.
Okay, so the thing is the public doesn't get told this, but you see the results of it in action. For example, once the European governments found out that Saudi Arabia now has nuclear weapons, they said Britain and France said, "Oh, well, we're going to give some nuclear weapons to Ukraine." Okay, and Russia said, "This is a very bad idea. This is World War III if you give a nuclear weapon to Ukraine." But see, Europe doesn't want Ukraine to go away, to lose. And let me just interject something right here so everybody can understand very clearly what Orwellian doublethink is. Okay, the people who say that Ukraine is doing fine, and Ukraine can win, and Ukraine can get its territory back, the same people who say this are the people who say, "Oh, Russia is a deadly threat to us, and we must enlarge our militaries and spend more money on our military because you know,
right?
Russia's
a trillion and a half might not be enough, right? Okay.
Yeah. So, in other words, on one hand, Russia's weak, and Ukraine can kick their butt. But then, on the other hand, the same people think, "Oh, Russia's so strong that they can invade us and take us over." So, which is it? Okay, it's two contradictory thoughts held in their mind without them having a clue, okay? They just want to see things both ways. It's like a man can be a woman and it can have babies and stuff, okay? So it's that kind of thinking that we have here. So, at any rate, this is one track. So let's take another track. Let's take the Venezuela track. So the whole world watched as Trump said, "We're going to put troops on the ground in Venezuela. We're going to invade Venezuela. We're going to send Tomahawk missiles in. We're going to blow this place up." right? And he amassed a huge force in the Caribbean off of Venezuela to do this. And then he just kidnapped the president and called it a great victory. Okay? So he didn't do any of the stuff he thought. He kidnapped the president and called it a great victory. Then he said he was going to take Greenland, and he talked to the Secretary General of NATO. He said, well, why do you want to take Greenland? You can build all the military bases there you want to. You can mine the minerals. You can do whatever you want there. You know, why do you want to take it? Trump comes back and says, we've won a great victory. We can now build all the military bases in Greenland that we want to. Well, you know what? We could do that since 1945.
Oh, it's always been in writing. You're right. That's right.
Trump had no great victory. There was nothing. He hadn't bullied anybody into anything. The NATO Secretary General just said, well, you already got all this stuff that you're asking for. You know? So, but he puts in the press a great victory. He has bullied these people into giving him what he wants. Okay, so Iran is watching this. And when Israel starts twisting Trump's arms to invade Iran, the purpose is to invade Iran towards the greater Israel thing. Okay, so when we're doing that, Iran comes up with an idea. They says, "Well, you know, why don't we give Trump his great victory?" They said, okay, so in Venezuela, Trump didn't want to overthrow the regime. He just wanted to tell them what to do. He wanted Venezuela to stop doing business with Russia and China and Iran and follow America's lead. That's all. They understand that's all Trump wants in Cuba. Cuba, he doesn't want to free the Cuban people from their Marxist overlords. He just wants the Cubans to not buy stuff from China and Russia or Iran and not sell them stuff, okay, to be in business with America instead of those other countries. That's all Trump wants, okay? He actually made fun of Corina Machado, the presumptive legal president of Venezuela. He didn't support her at all. She bent over backwards to kiss his butt, and then he still didn't support her, okay? So what Iran decides to do is, we're going to make
Trump an offer he cannot refuse. Mitch,
yes.
She gave him her Nobel Prize, too.
Yes, I know. So that's what I mean. She bent over backwards to please him. So then we come to Iran, and Iran says, well, let's look. This is how the way that Donald Trump elects. So let's play his game. So what they did is, if you remember, after the State of the Union address, that Thursday, the Iranians said, we have an offer for the Americans that we think they'll like. And the Omani said, oh, yes, this is making great progress. Okay, so it's kind of hard to envision what would be this great progress. Well, this is what the Iranians offered Trump. They said, okay, we will give up our nuclear weapons program. We will give up our ballistic weapons program. We will give up supporting our proxy forces in Lebanon and Yemen and so forth in Gaza. We will give all that up. We will also, you can come in business with Iran. We've got vast mineral and oil wealth, and you can be a part of this business. And all we are asking in return is a treaty with the United States wherein the United States protects us from Israel. We don't need all these weapons if Israel is not a threat to us. So you make a treaty to protect Iran from Israel. They're not asking the United States to protect Iran from all the other enemies they might have in the world, just specifically Israel. And not only would Trump not do it, but boom. Within a day, he attacks.
Yeah, the sneak attack, stabbing in the back, basically. I wonder if the Iranians really don't understand that Trump and America are completely controlled by the Jewish state. Do they not get that?
No, I think they do get it. I think what their offer was a test. It was a test to see, you know, to lay bare the,
has to
the way
be.
That
they're very
that
shrewd
we
people.
Are.
I think
you know,
geopolitically,
the way that we are in
perfect.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So we go and you know already we here's another thing. So Trump kept drifting off and Israel was getting very upset with him. 19 hours into this invasion, Trump was already talking about, oh, well, we've already gained a great victory, and, you know, we're going to look for an off-ramp. And Israel was apoplectic when he opened his mouth and he said that. And from sources in the Middle East, Israeli officials said they're going to kill him and his entire family if he continues down that path. Okay, he's got to shut up. He's got to stop doing that. Okay, he's got to be in Iran for the whole course. Okay, uh-huh. And the reason why, and Naftali Bennett, the previous prime minister, sort of let this out, but the reason why is you see, not only Iran wants a nuclear weapon, but Turkey wants one. And so Israel wants to drag in America into a war with Turkey next. So we got to complete this war with Iran, so they can next drag us into a war with Turkey, and then they'll achieve their goals. Okay. So I want to just reflect on something. Like I was talking about the doublethink, and there's another thing of just not thinking things through and connecting the dots. Okay. When they talk about Greater Israel, they're talking about Israel and all the Arab countries. And Mike Huckabee, our ambassador over there, is saying that all this area really belongs to the Jews. And he's a preacher, and he knows the Bible. Okay, so all this land was promised to whom? It was promised to Abraham, right? That's who it was promised to.
Okay.
And Abraham had two kids. One kid, Isaac, is where the Jews came from. And the other kid, Ishmael, is where all the Arabs came from. So if you connect the dots, the Middle East does belong to the children of Abraham, both Arabs and Jews. But in Mike Huckabee's mind, it only belongs to the Jews. And it's actually illogical to think that way. It's wishful thinking, but it's not logical. Okay.
So, can you show me some logic in any of this insanity? I can't find any.
Yeah.
There's these people. This species of ours does not really deserve to be shepherds or stewards of this planet. We're gone.
No.
AI is walking away from us as we speak, and I say, let him. Let's see what happens. Could it be any worse than what we have now? Yeah. Would it be?
So,
I doubt it very much. Go ahead.
The next question is, where is this going? Okay, here, I want you to know that if you watch the news totally, totally isn't telling you anything. Okay, I mean, they didn't tell you about the nuclear weapons issues. They didn't tell you that. Okay, they're not telling you anything, okay? So they say that the Iranian regime is fall. So I want to explain why the Iranian regime won't fall, the war will continue, and the Iranians will not surrender. So let me lay this out for you. So the Iranian government was constructed in 1979 to resist change and to just be this massive weight of inertia where things couldn't change. It was the Constitution was written so that there could not be a revolution, so that there could not be a rebellion, okay? So they broke the government into three different sections, and each of those sections has three components to it. So that's nine people who have to speak for uh-huh. anything to get done, okay? So one layer is, and this is who the people vote for, is the parliament. The Speaker of Parliament is alive, okay? The president, Pezeshkian, he's alive. And the Assembly of Experts, and their chairman and their members are alive, okay? Level two is the Guardian Council, and that's made up of six jurists and six clerics, which are all alive, okay? Then the cabinet, which is your ministry of this and that and the other thing, and the vice president is the chairman. He's like the prime minister. He's like the chairman of the cabinet, and he's alive. The supreme leader was the only one killed, okay, in this. Now, some cabinet members were killed, too.
Let me suggest this. Is it true? I don't know, but the current explanation is that there were a whole lot of people having a working breakfast with the Ayatollah, and they were all hit together, boom, and that took most of them out. Supposedly, they were all eating breakfast, and Trump is very happy about that.
He's the Secretary of Transportation. Those type of people were not at that meeting, and they're still alive and working. Okay, so level is your Chief Justice.
Whoop. Mitch is dropping out. Let's see. How long? Is he gone, Todd, completely? Do we have to reconnect? All right, Todd may be trying to get him back now. All right, let me pull this story up here. It explains what I just said. At least it's the formal explanation from the White House. Todd, let me know what's going on, if you can. I'm not hearing anything.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, you are? Yeah, you dropped off again, twice. I don't know what happened.
I heard it drop, too. I don't know what happened either, so.
Well, somebody's playing games.
I think I was at the third level, the Chief
Correct.
Justice.
The third, that's right.
Chief Justice is alive. The Supreme Council for National Security, Ali Larijani is alive. And then the Expediency Council, which is the chairman is Sadek Larijani. These guys are like brothers. He's still alive. Okay, this Expediency Council is the one who picks the Ayatollah. Okay. And let me just tell you something about these guys. The Supreme Council on National Security, Ali Larijani, he's a hardliner. He's been there forever. He's got the blood of hundreds of thousands of people on his hand. He's the crackdown guy. We did not target him. The other crackdown guy is Chief Justice.
That's interesting. Hold on.
Yes.
That's very interesting. That guy was, they let him live.
Yeah.
Then I wonder what's going on there.
Who led the crackdown on the 32,000 people who were killed. Justice Mohsen Ejea, he's the one that said that if you're rebelling against the government, you're rebelling against God and you deserve to die.
Right.
Okay? These are the people who are responsible for
the most radical
things.
And they were spared or intentionally protected.
Yes.
President Donald Trump said, today, the initial strikes targeting Iran killed dozens of Iranian leaders during a breakfast meeting with Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei. There you go. Dozens, supposedly.
So the Provisional Leadership Council that's now governing in the stead of the Ayatollah is President Pezeshkian, Chief Justice Mohsen Ejea, who's responsible for executing thousands of people, okay, and Guardian Council member Ayatollah Arafi, who's the new guy. Now, Arafi, unlike Khamenei said, well, no nuclear weapons. Arafi doesn't hold those same views. Nukes are okay with him. Okay. So the de facto leader that's been ruling things since Khamenei got taken over is Ali Larijani, and he's a very hardliner. He's got lots of blood on his hand. He's a vicious ruler. Now, these guys are not going to be giving up anything, okay? There's no fighting amongst the remaining leadership. See, that's something that our news over here reports, is that there's all this factional infighting. They're just pulling this out of the air. They're saying, well, this is what happens every time that a leader is taken off. But I just described for you how the government works over there, and there is no factional fighting.
They have a constitution. They have a constitution. They're following their constitution, apparently to the letter, and they know that they have a fallback. It's their constitution if there's trouble, and that's all they need to do is honor it.
That's exactly what they did. And you know, another thing that we say is, well, the government does not deserve the support of the people because they're not looking out for the financial best interests of the people. Well, the Iranian constitution makes it very clear that the government does not exist to enrich the people. The government exists to enrich the morality of the people and the spiritual being of the people.
That's interesting.
They have no responsibility to make sure people eat. Okay, no responsibility at all. All right. That's why they throw all the money into guns and money and foreign wars and stuff. The Constitution tells them to do that. Okay, so now this is another thing that just nobody has mentioned it at all. Yet it's such a large part of Iranian culture, and that is, you know, that just like Christians have an eschatology and end times scenario, well, the Muslims do too, and the Shia have a very particular one. Okay, so so remember when the Chief Justice Mohsen Ejeh said that opposing the government is opposition to God? There is a logic. Iranian clerics have labeled Donald Trump as the Dajjal, or the Antichrist, okay? They see this as the end times. And anyone who opposes the Iranian theocratic government is therefore opposing God. They are servants of the Antichrist and deserve death. They are serious because they've killed over 32,000 of them, okay? So this is serious. You don't have a right to protest the Iranian government because this is the end times and they represent God. And America is the Antichrist, okay? So why is this so important now and will mean a fight to the end? In Shia Islam, there are five certain signs that the Dajjal is coming to power and the final war is being fought, okay? That's what they call them, the five certain signs. The first one is the Khorasan movement. This is Iran, a theocratic state that will fight the Antichrist at the end. This began in 1979. Sunni Iraq tried to crush it in the first Gulf War, 1980-1988. And that was America egging them on, giving them intelligence and weapons. The second, the Yamani uprising. This is the Shia Houthis of Yemen getting their freedom 2004 to present. Sunni Saudi Arabia has been trying to crush this rebellion since 2014. So two, the Shia, the Sunnis are Antichrist as well as America. Okay, so that's one and two, the Khorasan movement and the Yamani uprising. The third one is the Sufiani in Syria. So the Shia Alawites controlled Syria from 1963 to 2024. Iran was a friend. This prophecy is about Syria breaking its friendship with Iran, overthrown by Sunnis and friends with the Dajjal. The Sufiani is the tyrant that attacks the Shia. He is a tyrant described as having a red face, blonde hair, and blue eyes. Sort of like Orange Man Bad, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So you got to understand, from an Iranian perspective, Donald Trump is this Sufiani, this third certain sign that the Antichrist is coming to power, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, do you think they're gonna make a deal with him? I mean, they offered him a deal that they knew he wouldn't take because he's the Antichrist. He's evil. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to this. In Christian eschatology, the fourth seal, the fourth horse is Horus in Greek. Horus means yellow-green. Yellow is the color of Shia Islam, and green is the color of Sunni Islam. You might say that the fourth seal was opened in 1980 when the Sunni Saddam Hussein invaded Shia Iran. And this war going on to this very day, this war going on to today, is still the Persian Gulf War. Okay? My son, who fought in this war, that's what his grave marker will say, the Persian Gulf War. Okay? Even though it was in the 2012-2013.
Got it.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So this is all this one big war, and this big war is the yellow against the green. Okay, and we've seen this all the way now where actually the Sunni countries are sort of on Israel's side and America's side, on the great Satan side, on the Dajjal side, against the Shia. The Shia is a religion because the Sunnis killed their leaders and ran them out, okay? So they have a traditional rivalry with the Sunni, okay? So the next two sure signs happened just before the final battle between the Mahdi, plus the Christ, and the Dajjal. See, they think they're the Mahdi, and the Mahdi and Christ rule together in the new kingdom. And the sign is the heavenly cry, which is a loud noise from heaven. And the fifth one is the killing of the pure soul, which is an envoy that's sent to Mecca by the Shias that's killed when he goes there. Okay. So that's that completes their five signs. But you'll notice that the three big ones have all come true. Okay. So the Iranian armed forces, including the SEPA, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Besieged Auxiliary Force, the Artesh, the Islamic Republic of Iran Army, and the Army Reserves, and the Faraja, the police command in the Islamic Republic, are not fighting for their country, they are fighting against the Antichrist. Okay? So their motivation, nobody over here talks about what's motivating them. And this is their motivation. This is the end times for them. They're under massive attack. This is the end times. Put yourself
so
in Iran
now,
where there's been 2,000 bombings over the past 48 hours. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to them?
Well,
it looks like the end times.
Facing the end. That's right.
Yes.
Existential is more than applicable here.
And we're sitting here thinking, oh, they'll give up pretty soon. Well, you know what? If you're a Christian and they say, well, you have to kiss the Antichrist's butt if you want to live, you know, what are you going to do? You know, this is very strong.
Now, they're not going to quit. Logic. And to underscore that, Mitch, hang on. Trump today said all of a sudden it may not end in 3 or 4 weeks. It may take 5-6 weeks or longer. He's getting ready now for a long, drawn-out, protracted agony. And that's what's going to happen. They're not going to quit. They've got over 100. If you looked at the videos I have posted of the underground missile cities, they call them, there are over 100 of those all over the country. 100. Think about that.
Well, yes. The Iranians, like you said, not stupid people. They're actually very smart people. They knew it was coming. They know what our airborne electronic warfare capabilities
AOX.
Are. They know what our they know that we can penetrate and we can bomb anywhere. They know that we have excellent intelligence. They know this. They prepared for that. They knew that was coming. And
they also know we're out of bunker buster GBU-57s. We have no more. And we're going to run out of missiles in about a week, according to a lot of observers who aren't stupid. And if we do, it's going to be quite amusing to watch us try to fight a war without the munitions to back it. I mean, it's
ludicrous. Oh, yes, yes. So what this, there's also a domestic aspect to this. Is you see the Israelis are thinking in the same line as the Iranians are. Okay, as far as religious motivation.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they look at our top three leaders, our president, our vice president, and our Speaker of the House. That's who becomes president if the person above them dies, right? So Speaker Johnson is number three in that thing.
Yep.
So
yep.
Trump is a Zionist and a great friend of Israel, but he's that because Israel strokes his ego and because of money. So money and ego. The Jerusalem Post today, it was calling Trump the savior of Israel.
Wow.
Okay. So Trump eats that up. Okay.
Yeah.
That's in the Jerusalem Post today, all over the page. Trump is the savior of Israel, right? So they will stoke his ego. Okay. But that's kind of a tenuous thing there, especially with a guy like Trump. Okay. So the next guy down, J.D. Vance, he's a Christian and a Christian Zionist, but his Christianity, he's Roman Catholic, and his wife is Hindu. So the Catholic Church itself is not pro-Zionist, okay? So, you know, he doesn't, he's, it's sort of like he's Roman Catholic and he wants to identify with the Christian Zionist, the Zionist, but for him it's a political it's like a political feeling of allegiance with Zionism, politically motivated. Okay.
Got it.
So you go to the next guy down, Speaker Johnson. Speaker Johnson believes if you don't support Israel, you're going to hell. So which mm-hmm. guy is going to jump through the hoops the most for Israel? A, B, or C? Well, Speaker Johnson, I think we're looking at the near future to a major assassination. And I think the model for that assassination will be the Charlie Kirk assassination. They're going to find some woke Democrat leftist tranny to kill the president and maybe the vice president. Okay. So
that's going to be sticky. So, wouldn't it be easier to put them together on an airplane?
Oh, no. They have to, you know, a leftist has to kill them because, see, the left in this country is anti-Israel. So they have to have a leftist.
Well, I understand, but they could blame a leftist for putting a bomb on the plane or whatever. That's possible.
They can get them both at something. It's not, listen, it's the Israelis. They can do the job, okay? They've done it before. They killed Kennedy. Lots of people. They can do it. They're up to the task, okay? And they're even up to, I mean, if you look at the Charlie Kirk assassination, well, it's very clear that the Israelis did it, but somehow this leftist is officially getting all the blame. Okay.
So Tyler Robinson will be convicted and will go to prison, but right now, yes. If you look carefully at the pictures, you'll see that Tyler Robinson is no longer in custody. It's a body double. Skin moles, little brown moles on your face, do not disappear. And if you look closely at the pictures of Tyler now and Tyler before, it ain't the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, he didn't, the one thing for sure is he did not do it, okay?
For absolute sure.
He's it's just apparent as can be. To anybody that's not gullible.
Well, they're going to sit on this stupid scenario and push it through.
Yeah, Charlie didn't get shot with a .30-06 rifle, period. That did not happen.
It's asinine, even. No, of course not.
So, you know, I've seen enough people shot, me personally, I've seen enough people shot where I know what bullets do to people, okay?
Yeah.
And in different calibers. I've seen people shot with all different calibers of bullets, and I know what it does, especially a soft area like the neck, okay? So Here's the thing is, you know, they're going to do this. And what they want is they want outrage against the left. They would like to have Insurrection Act. They would like to have martial law. They would like to round these anti-Zionist, or as they call them, anti-Semitic people, up and get rid of them. Okay? So, and by doing that, they'll also scare a lot of people into shutting up about their anti-Semitism or whatever. So I think we're seeing that down the line. Let me just put it this way. What I would like everybody to understand is if you have a goal and you will do anything to accomplish that goal and you have no moral scruples at all about this, sort of like Marxists, they, you know, the ends justify the means. That was Marx that said that. The Zionists are from the same thing. They're from the same vein. It's two sides of the same coin. The Zionists, there is nothing that they would not do to accomplish their goals. There is no limits to the evil that they will do to accomplish their goals. No limits at all. So, you know, just keep that in mind. I mean, you know, and you can connect the dots. Just look at what's going on and say, okay, here's the problem. How would Israel solve this problem? You know, well, you know, for Israel, one of the easiest ways to solve a problem is just to kill the people. Okay? So that's what they're inclined to do. All right? At any rate, what we're going to see pretty soon is 30% of the oil in the world comes from the Persian Gulf. That's going to be stopped. You're going to start seeing financial and economic ripples going through the world economy soon. Okay? So, you know, one thing will lead to another. I just predict that things are not going to get better from here on out. Things will only get worse, okay, as time goes by. And, you know, we haven't seen how many Iranians came over here under Biden, slipped into the country, you know. When are they going to start doing their stuff?
I'm seeing a few stories suggesting that Iranian sleeper cells have already been noticed in our society and they're on the move. These are early fear porn stories. Iranian groups here? Probably. Are they going to be dumb enough to incite the American public against them? I don't think so. That's my take. But there can be false flags done, and they'll blame the Iranians and post some.
If you see the Iranians do something aside from just some single crackpot somewhere, because who can control them? But if you see any large-scale Iranian attack on American soil, that's probably an American attack on America.
Absolutely.
Soil.
Come on, don't for a minute discount the idea that the Mossad could light off a medium-range nuke in some medium-sized city here, easily blaming the Iranians.
Yes.
Easy. Expect that could happen, especially if Trump looks in the face of losing the war.
Actually, not even if it needs to happen, if it would be convenient for Israel, they would do it.
That's right.
They have no value on human life at all. Okay?
None. None.
Yep.
Zero.
Yeah.
No.
So, I would suggest, you know, go to Amazon and get my book, The Final Wars. Just type in The Final Wars. It should come up. It's The Final Wars, How to Survive, The Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, because that's what's ahead of us right now. Right now, we're looking at it. It is, if you remember, I said that World War III actually began on June 22nd, the last time we bombed Iran. That's when we knew it was on. That's when Iran knew that they were going to be attacked. Okay. So that's when it all began, you know. I mean, Iran is, well, they bombed the airport in Kuwait, the airport in Qatar, and you know, they're lobbing a lot of missiles onto the Arab nations because, well, they support American bases, and they haven't done anything to any Muslim solidarity and stuff. So they do look at the Sunni Muslim countries as enemies, okay? And, you know, it's just the way... And look at the big picture. This picture is, you know, the zoom out and look at the big picture. So you see Pakistan and Afghanistan are in open war now. Open war. They're at war with each other. Mm-hmm. Not just a little war. They had a big war with each other. There's major fighting going on between Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Okay,
Saudi Arabia has been attacked by Iran. Okay, let's go back to this nuclear thing. Okay, well, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia are allies. Who went to Tel Aviv last week with a big splash talking about friendship and cooperation and alliances? India did.
That's right.
That's because India knows World War III is on. Okay, that's why.
All right. It appears that the Israeli Iron Dome is not functioning very well. I'm going to be really polite. I don't know why. But the waves of Iranian ballistic missiles... In the video on the homepage that you see, that's not the only example of that. There's very little pushback, and I think it's because the Patriot missile interceptors are in extremely short supply. There just aren't enough, and Israel has already burned up most of their supply. They can't get many more from the U.S. I think the big bet here by Netanyahu and Trump by extension is that this Iran war would be quick, the Iranians would cave in, they might be able to successfully resuscitate their color revolution fervor on the people, but in fact, they made a martyr out of the supreme leader, and the people are more united than ever now against the West. They hate the West.
The Iranian armed forces have been told that this is a jihad.
There you go.
This is a holy war.
Yeah.
This is a holy war. This is a war against the Antichrist. I mean, just think about it. So 500 years ago, they described the Syriani as a red-faced man with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
And who happens to be our president right now? A man who fits that description to a T. So what are
Trump.
The Iranians supposed to think, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
What are they supposed to think? This man is the Dajjal. Many clerics
he's made to order
for a while now that he's the Dajjal, the Antichrist.
It fits right into their legend. Yeah,
they're fighting for their souls, not just their lives. Their eternal souls is what they're fighting for. Okay, so you know, there's no mention of any of this. Nobody describes this in our media over here. They don't want you to know. They don't want you to know about all this bandying about of giving Ukraine nukes and Saudi Arabia having nukes, and they don't want to tell you all these things, okay? Because they want you to just accept that, oh, we're having a great victory over the evil Iranian people, okay? Whatever. Or the Ayatollahs, whatever it may be. We're having a great victory over them. You know, so, you know what? It's not over until it's over. You know, I think that what Iran is settling in for is a war of attrition. Okay. Why should they give up? What do they got to gain by giving up? What?
Oh, come on. Absolutely right. They got nothing. Nope. They're going to have to fight this out.
We want them. We actually... negotiating with them, we want them to give up all their defenses.
Everything.
What country would do that?
No, everything.
Give up your total defenses for everything?
No.
I mean, we're asking them for something that you can't get, they can't give. You
right,
know?
By design. And then we snuck in the attack, boom, hit them. when negotiations were allegedly positive, let's say?
Well, let's put it this way. Oman thought they were positive, because Oman knows what the deal was. They know what the Iranians offered. Okay, so, but, you know, they're never going to tell the American people what the Iranians offered, because the American people would say, well, you idiot, why didn't you take that, rather than war, you know?
Right.
Well, because it was never, there was never going to be a deal anyway. They were going to attack Iran. Israel wanted us to attack Iran no matter what. You remember, no more regime change wars, no more wars in the Middle East, no more, no more, and nothing but war.
Have you ever, dear friends out there, especially American friends, but we have people all over the world listening, have you ever seen more lies in any political system in the world than are coming out of Washington and this administration? This guy is truly a psychopath. This guy is truly a psychopath. It's really something. Sad to see what this country has become.
The lies are so bad, and you know, this is something I've continually complained about. With all the money that we give in tax money to the federal government, the American people deserve better lies than what we're told. We are told the most lame, idiotic, transparent, obvious lies that I have ever seen in my life.
We deserve better lying. That's funny.
Yes, we do. We pay good money for this government. We deserve better lies, you know?
All right. Wow. So, depending upon how many of these missile cities are still intact, and most people believe that the great majority of them are, these missile waves are going to continue. $50 billion damage to Tel Aviv last June. We'll see how many dollars, shekels, are done in damage this time around. By the way, you're not seeing a word about much of anything to do with Iran's attacks on Tel Aviv or anywhere else in the media. A little bit about American bases being hit, trying again to rile up the Americans against Iran. Oh, they're hitting our bases. They're trying to kill our people. Well, of course they are. What's happening to them? Anyhow, yeah, I feel sorry for the American people in the hands of this lame, moronic mainstream media, which is so damned evil by extension that it's hard to describe.
Listen, if you look at our media, they'll show you the missiles coming in. They'll never. They don't like to show them hitting the ground.
No
if
impact.
If you want to see that, just go to Al Jazeera. Go on your internet to Al Jazeera, and they'll have the videos of the missiles actually impacting the ground. They get some beautiful pictures of the complete thing. Where as far as you'll see the missile coming down, then they cut it off. They don't show you.
It's true. It's all part of how they censor the news. It's all true.
Yeah.
And they are brutally censoring the news, believe me, if not actually manufacturing and making it up.
They're stage managing reality. You know, I think Trump really did think that he was going to put on an Iran invasion show. I don't think he really thought he was going to get himself into an actual war.
He's
a showman. I watched the State of the Union, and I thought he put on a good show. It was good showmanship. Okay.
Well,
but
he's
you know
had
what?
Enough practice,
Everything's
hadn't
not
he?
A show. A war is not a show. A war kills people. It's real. It hurts.
Not to Trump.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. I just have a feeling that he's not going to make it very much longer in this term. I don't know why. We both know, many of you listening know, the Israelis would remove Trump in a heartbeat if it served their greater interests. It wouldn't have a problem with that.
The Israelis are talking about it. They've actually threatened him. They're talking about it. Let him know.
So watch for a heart attack or a stroke, which can be done electronically from distance at any time. And that's one way they could take him out. Very easy.
Well, they'll take them out in the way that best serves their interests.
Their purpose. Exactly.
Yes.
So you're looking for for the Speaker of the House for the first time, I think, in American history, wouldn't it be, to actually ascend to the presidency?
Yep.
Well, that's interesting
right.
call. We shall see. Mitch, it's great to hear you back on the program. Keep getting better. And I'm sorry you're still coughing, but you'll get there. We're all hoping.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
All right,
good night. Good job. Thank you.
Good night.
Mitchell Henderson, he was exposed to too many close call explosions, artillery, etc., bombs in the military, and it did some damage to his throat, his bronchial tubes, and his lungs, and it kind of just got worse. That's why he's not on every Monday, but he will be on as he is able and as the situation warrants. So thank you again, Mitchell Henderson. Back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.